City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, and welcome to the USA Volleyball Show. Stephen, we're at 2 years.
Happy 2 years.
Year anniversary.
Let's go. Wow. Yeah. Can you believe that? 63 episodes in to this thing, 2 years now. And what a 2 years it's been, too.
I know. I know we talked about it last year for our last year, 1 year. Now we're still talking about it here for our 2 year of just like recapping what our best episodes were. What are some of those good and memorable conversations? And I don't have an answer. If you were to ask me this right now and say, hey, which one is your absolute favorite? I would have to run away and leave the camera because I don't have an answer for you.
Man, yeah. I hate to pick favorites, but here comes the but. Now, in recent memory, our episode with Kavika Soji was a lot of fun. Kind of celebrating his career, his retirement now, and got to surprise him with that video from his family and friends and teammates and coaches through past years of playing in his career. But that was in recent memory. That one was a lot of fun to do, and just a great conversation with Kavika. But so many great episodes, including our ABCA episodes as well. That was a lot of fun. And that whole trip too is just super memorable and sticks in my memory.
Ooh, 10 sure. plus hours later.
how many interviews did we do that weekend?
Like, we had to do at least five. At least.
And yeah, I would have guessed like eight or something like that.
I said at least five. We definitely did more than that.
But yeah. That was a lot of fun. And just experiencing our producer heard 8 to 9 episodes recorded there. That was incredible. Ooh. But just to get to experience ABCA for the first time and the NCAA championships too for the first time was incredible. And
that was wild. I still can't
ever forget that.
Nope. I will never, ever, ever, ever in my life forget that. And hopefully, again, like we talk about, they want us in Tampa for the 2023.
Hopefully they have that podcast center set up this year.
We'll have to bring our board shorts this time and podcast while we're
that's right. Hopefully don't run into any snow conditions on the way there. Hopefully we fly this time.
100% we are
flying. And not drive to Tampa.
Not driving to Tampa. That's wild. if we have to do that, no.
Yeah. But
I mean, speaking of like, you know, live interviews too, we had a chance to have our first episode, featured around the book, If Gold Is Our Destiny.
Yeah.
Up in Denver. That was the first live-ish show with a live studio audience too. That was super cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. To shout out to the Tattered Cover in Denver, downtown Denver there for hosting us. Shout out to Sean Murray for inviting us to be a part of that.
Who we also ran into at the ABCA conference.
That's right. Yeah, it was good to see him at ABCA as well. He was doing some more book stuff there and some panels, I think, with Doug Beal as well. But yeah, Doug Beal was at our live show there. Chris Marlowe as well. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, to have a live audience there and kind of we were like broadcast through the bookstore too, which is kind of cool. So we were on the second floor, but on the bottom floor they had a kind of play into. That was cool.
I wish we could have had like a GoPro or just like a still camera there and just like kind of watch people's reaction when they walk in the show, like, ooh, he's over here.
had a few patrons come up and check it out. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was super memorable to me too. I'll never forget that. That was really cool.
Well, I mean, you also got the chance to, you know, record some live interviews from, you know, Tokyo and the Olympics and Paralympics, which is insane. I know. Am I jealous of that? A little bit, but, you know, it is what it is. But it's so cool that, you know, that's part of, you know, the whole podcast experience from our 1 year going into the 2 years, you know?
Yeah, getting to do that with Kyle Scholzen, who is since then has moved on from USA Volleyball and, mm-hmm. and doing great things outside of USA Volleyball. But
we missed
to do that with Kyle. Yeah, we definitely miss you. To do that with Kyle was a lot of fun and definitely challenging at times to try to figure out where we were going to record. And we didn't have the equipment that we have now, too. So we were like recording on our phones at the time, which was fun. But now we find all sorts of dark corners and quiet.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And talked to Taylor Sander there, had an episode with Taylor Sander, episode with Haley Washington as well. But yeah, just that was a lot of fun. And I'll remember that forever as well. And hopefully, looking ahead to Paris, get to do that again.
Oh, yes. And then also Open National Championship 2022 in Orlando, that was, Curtis and I having the chance to, interview some people from, the older age divisions and just really spotlight and highlight, the return of Opens, post COVID and, post the awkward 2021 year we had when, a lot of the world was still up in the air and unsure of things there too. And yeah, just amazing. A lot of really, really, really good experiences.
Yeah. I as I was taking a sip from my mug here, another highlight, getting some merch.
Oh yeah. Look at that. You want to show off your shirt too? Since we're talking about
shirt. Merch. Yeah.
Oh,
that's right. I forgot I was wearing the shirt too.
Wearing that right now, but
even planned. Yeah. Shout out to our marketing lead Bree for getting that done and more to come too. We're really excited. All the signage too that we had at ABCA and even more coming soon.
We're on a drop of posters.
Yeah. We're on a banner. That's insane to think about. what did we keep hearing at ABCA? Those podcast guys are everywhere.
Is there something? You're darn right we are.
That's right. Yeah. Man, so many great memories in these 2 years. I can't even believe we're at 2 years already. It feels like a long time, but it feels like it just blew by too. And we got so many great plans to do video episodes as well. Yeah, we just started
video episodes.
We're trying to get to where that goes.
We're trying to get to 100 episodes this year.
Did
you do the math?
We're sitting right around, if we stick to our normal routine of two a month ish, we're at right around 80 episodes.
Okay.
So it's going to be a challenge to hit that by the end of the year, but we'll see what happens. If we're at ABCA, we knock out 9 episodes again, who knows what will happen.
Yeah, but that's the end of the year and that's cutting it real close.
That's true.
We got a pre-plan. So we got to really take advantage of what? Opens, girls 18s, 11s
to 13s, GJNC. Oh,
VNLs. Oh, VNLs. Yeah, absolutely. VNL.
Because we have two of those in the US this year.
All right. Special episode every week. Bam.
Norseca Continental Championships as well. So, yeah, maybe we can get there. We'll do our best for sure. Yeah, we'll do our best.
But then I'm going to put it in the air now up in the universe. Hopefully we may be able to have some sort of special giveaway or just burped a little bit. Giveaway, a raffle, some sort of recognition for our 100th episode there. But heck, maybe we can even do something at the Hall of Fame banquet that's going to be in Dallas this year, May 24th. But we'll talk about that in news with Hughes later on today.
That's right. A little teaser there. I like that. Do you have any goals or like things you want to do in year three with the podcast? I have one that I want to share.
But you go first. If you're already ready to go, you need to go first. But I can piggyback off that. I'm just kidding.
We've kind of talked a little bit about this offline and joked, but I think we should try to make this a goal. But we need to get maybe for 100 episode too, for our 100th episode, we get the mustache, the stash, Magnum PI, Tom Selleck on the podcast. Ooh. Honorary team captain of, I think it was the 84 men's team. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 88. But yeah, Tom Selleck on the podcast.
the white whale.
Yeah, he is our white whale. We're chasing up. So anyone listening right now, you might have a connection, contact for Tom Selleck. Just drop some hints. Let him know the USA Volleyball Show podcast is looking for him.
All right, this is my goal here, and I don't know what we would have to do for it. And this is pretty outrageous, but imagine an episode that's also okay. So here's my whole scene right now. We're at Girls International, right? We are co-PA announcing one of the finals matches, but we are also posting the podcast.
Wow.
Live.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I think that's the goal of mine.
At Nationals, at a junior
at Nationals. Or even at Opens. I'd be down.
Open Nationals. Okay.
For sure. Open Nationals or Girls Junior Nationals or Boys Junior Nationals. Any one of our Nationals, I think that will be the perfect setup there. I know a lot of the spectators during those finals matches give a lot of feedback to the PA announcers that are there and calling the matches. All of our PA announcers have a lot of energy and are just really, really, really good at what they do. And so I think that'll really be a really good, you know, twist to that. To also, you know, be hosting the USA Volleyball Show and call a finals match. I don't know. I don't care what division it is. We can do the you know, little 11s. We can do the 15s. We can do the 17s. Any age group. I think that'll be really cool to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, doing a live show at a Nationals would be a lot of fun. And yeah, if we did that in tandem with calling a championship match, that would be really cool. That would be a highlight for sure.
I see it now. Steven's going down the list of events moving forward because it's going to be technically the end of our indoor event year. He's going to go, a kill down the middle by middle blocker number 17 from, I don't know, whatever club.
Oh, we do like that. We do athlete coach interviews like right after post match.
Oh my goodness. With the tiny mics?
With the tiny mic?
Tiny mic?
Get the tiny mics out?
Yeah.
yeah.
That, I think that'd be insane.
That would be really cool. That's a good
one. It's going to take a lot of planning, but let's get on it.
Let's write these down. Let's write these down and hopefully we can get that done in year three. That'd be a lot of fun.
All right. Those are some realistic goals. I think they're very realistic. So I think we need to get on it.
I hope Tom Selleck is realistic.
You have to speak it into the atmosphere.
That's right. Yeah, just throw it out there.
That's what I'm saying.
Who knows who's... Maybe Tom Selleck is listening right now, and he just calls us up again after this.
Check our inbox, actually. We haven't done that in a while.
That's right. But yeah, what a 2 years it's been, and looking forward to more and seeing this podcast grow, too. It's come a long way from where we've started. And yeah, just excited to see the growth moving forward. But let's move on to the episode because we have a very, very exciting episode, episode 63 here today. But before we do, in case you missed it, last episode, we talked to U.S. men's sitting national team outside hitter Chris Seelkop. He shared his journey through volleyball, his Paralympic experience competing in 4 Paralympic Games, his role as CEO of several YMCAs in Florida. And you can listen to that right now on all podcast platforms or watch it on usavolleyball.org or the USA Volleyball YouTube channel. So now here we go with News with Hughes live from the Salt Lake City Convention Center. Clarence, here we go.
That will be the Salt Palace Convention Center.
No, Salt Palace.
But yes, a congratulations to a friend of the show, Sarah Sponsel, and her partner, Therese Cannon, for taking home the bronze medal at the Beach Pro Tour Challenge Itapema. The 2023 annual award winners have been revealed. The awards will be presented at the USA Volleyball Hall of Fame Banquet and Ceremony on May 24th at the Omni Hotel in Dallas, Texas. The 2023 honorees, including Rebecca B. Howard, Diversity and Inclusion Award winner, Jason Butch of the Oklahoma region, and Referee of the Year, a winner, she's actually going to be working Salt Lake City Showdown this year, Alexis Sheldon of the Badger region. See the full list on winners at usavolleyball.org. Hall of Fame tickets are now on sale. Again, event is happening on May 24th in Dallas, Texas. So be sure to celebrate with USA Volleyball's greatest and get your tickets right now. The Volleyball Nations League is coming to, that is right, the United States. Watch the world's best volleyball athletes in person on home soil, beginning with the men's week 3 leg hosted in Anaheim, California, from July 4th through the 9th. And then watch the women's final in Arlington, Texas, from July 12th through the 16th. Make sure to buy your V&O tickets for Anaheim and Arlington again right now. The 2023 USA Volleyball Beach National Championship will return to Fort Lauderdale, Florida on July 18th through the 23rd. Registration is now open on USAVRacketPal.com. All questions can be directed to beachevents@usav.org. Are you interested in men's college volleyball? Because we are. Be sure to check out our website for weekly roundups and stay up to date on results, rankings, key matchups, and much, much more. More on the latest news, visit usavolleyball.org.
Now, on to today's show. We caught up with U.S. Beach national team athlete Trevor Crabb while he's in Brazil competing in three back-to-back Beach Pro Tour events this month. Trevor talks about his background, growing up playing both basketball and volleyball, the volleyball legacy within his family. What makes a good beach partner. He talks about that as well. His goals this season, the Paris qualification race is heating up, and so much more. So let's get right to it. Here's Trevor. Trevor, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us. I know you got a real busy schedule, but we really appreciate you taking the time out of that busy schedule. I know I'm always excited to get a beach athlete on because I feel like where you guys are in a different place every week. But you're staying steady there in Brazil for the month, as we were talking before we got started. But yeah, really excited to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Here in Brazil for the month and three tournaments, FIVB Olympic qualifying events. So just trying to get those points and do it the best we can out here.
Awesome. Yeah. Excited to be able to watch you too, because we have those matches live on VBTV. So anyone listening here that wants to check out those matches, they're all live, all of them, on volleyballworld.tv. And you, I was actually watching this past weekend and I thought it was cool that you could, I don't know if you knew this, but you could watch multiple courts at one time to almost like an NFL red zone type situation. It was really cool. Yeah. I did that a lot this weekend.
Yeah, the new app and the new Volleyball World has a good streaming service. Really gives you the chance to, yeah, like you said, watch different courts, and then also like you can rewatch the matches.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's good for like scouting purposes as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that part.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with the streaming part.
Mm. Well, really quick, I kind of want to kick things off with a fun question here. What is the ultimate cheat meal for you?
Yeah, that's a good one. I'd have to go with, I'm not really a breakfast guy, so like when I do like have breakfast or brunch, I go kind of hardcore on pancakes and waffles.
Oh yes.
Some whipped cream, some maple syrup, some fruit on that. That's probably my go-to cheat meal, just because I don't have it very very often. But yeah, I'd have to go with that.
Mm. Oh, I love pancakes. Yeah, actually, I'm a huge breakfast guy. Love breakfast. My favorite meal of the day. But every time I go out to a brunch or a breakfast with my friends, we always get what we call a table cake, a pancake for the table, and we all split it. So we can have a little bit of pancake with our meals. But I have to agree with that. That's a good one.
Well, and then I would say peanut butter banana pancakes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Gosh. Ooh. I'm a huge peanut butter banana person. Just like I'll just chop up a banana and just like dip it in the peanut butter. Yes. So then I recently got my wife into it too. She's hooked on it as well.
snack for like a quick little energy boost. It's like banana and peanut butter for me.
That's right. Yeah, such an easy term to sack. That's true.
Yeah.
What are some of your go-to songs that you listen to right before a game or a tournament when you get in the zone? You know, it could be something, not so hype. I have a friend who likes to listen to R&B music before they play it. I'm like, that's a lot. That's a different change. But, you know, what about music?
So yeah, I definitely listen to a good amount of music. I'm not very picky with it, but I love Kid Cudi and Kanye West. So I have to go rap, R&B, hip hop kind of route there. I probably listen to more of that, before matches. But I also like reggae, Sublime, those Slightly Stupid. Growing up
nice. In
Hawaii, I'm a huge fan of reggae, so that's mm-hmm. more of the chill side, but I'll still listen to that, pregame as well. Yeah, but Kanye and Kid Cudi probably go to
nice. More.
Yeah.
What about an off day? What would you do on an off day? No volleyball, no training. You're there in Brazil for a month. I'm sure I would think maybe you have at least one off day for that mm-hmm. that month you're there. But yeah, what would you do outside of volleyball?
So yeah, if we're in a nice place like Brazil or warm weather, I'll usually go to the beach on my off days sometimes and jump in the ocean, jump in the water. Just like living in California, Hermosa, I'll go down to the beach and just jump in the water if the weather's nice, not too cold like it has been recently in California this past winter. So I haven't done too much of that, but the typical off day is just kind of hanging at home, all barbecue, maybe with some friends, either at my place or theirs, hang out, watch some other sports like football or basketball, whatever season it is. And just, really nothing too crazy.
Yeah, can't go wrong with the beach.
Oh, no. Sure. Still the biggest thing I miss from West Coast, man. Colorado's great, but still beach,
Yeah.
Yeah, Clarence is a California native.
Oh, nice.
From the Long Beach area?
Yeah, I grew up in Long Beach.
That's where I went to college, Long Beach State.
Oh, yeah.
Good. So I know that, pretty familiar with that area.
So actually, you just mentioned you like watching other sports. Basketball was one of them. You won a basketball state title in high school. You played at University of Puget Sound for a season, even went to the Sweet 16 while you were there. Is basketball your first love?
I would say basketball and beach volleyball are kind of the first, because I grew up first playing beach volleyball before indoor. Mm-hmm. And then basketball was kind of like the second sport as well that I learned. And I just kind of grew to love it. I started when I was 5 or 6 years old. And it was just so easy to play with your friends after school as well, And I think around high school was the time where I was I'm really, really enjoying this. I want to see if I can take it to the next level in college. I knew I wasn't, good enough to go professional or anything like that, but just trying to play in college was a goal of mine. And I went to a Division III school, and it was actually had a really good team. I wasn't coming from Hawaii, it's like the basketball there compared to the rest of the United States is such a big drop off. So when I got to college, I was like, well, I'm kind of out of my league here. I mean, these guys are a lot bigger and a little bit better than me. But it was cool just to get that experience and to, prove that I could play a second sport. And then once I realized, I'm not going to have a career in this, it's time to switch back to volleyball and pursue that.
Oh, go ahead, Clarence.
No, you can see me. I'll go after you.
No, I did see, I was curious about I'd never heard of the University of Puget Sound, so I was going to look at and I found your bio, and it said that you were listed as 6'6 on the bio, but I did see on our bio on USA Volleyball, you're at 6'4. So how tall are you? I think we're shortchanging you a little bit on our end. So.
I'm actually right in between. I'm exactly 6'5.
Okay. Well, yeah, was it a shoe height difference? Were you wearing your shoes on measuring day?
I might have boosted that.
Oops.
Yeah.
No shoes on the beach, so
exactly.
Just there. Well, we'll get that fixed for you on our website. We'll get you right at 6'5.
So what position did you play in basketball? Did you kind of float around from, kind of guard to forward, I'm guessing, or a little bit of big?
Actually, I was mainly forward and center in high school because I'm 6'5", and to be honest, I was one of the tallest guys in the league on the island. I was kind of forced to play the big position, unfortunately. And that's kind of why there's such a big drop off, because to the rest of the, you know, United States, you know, I should be playing guard basically compared to all these other schools. And so, yeah, it was tough, you know, not having like the guard skills and coming up to the college level and playing against bigger guys. So that was definitely a tough transition. But yeah, like our league in Hawaii produced a couple good players. But yeah, basketball is it's not one of the major sports out there. It's like football, you know, volleyball, and then basketball maybe. So that was like kind of the tough part during that transition, but glad I did it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear you say you started, you know, with beach volleyball, you know, as your, I want to say maybe your introduction to volleyball, which is kind of bringing up our next question. You know, how were you introduced to the game of volleyball, you know, as a whole? A lot of our guests have very, very, very many unique and different ways that they were kind of introduced to the game. It all kind of brings us, you know, to the centric level of the game. So, you know, yeah. What's your story?
Yeah, so I have a big volleyball family, especially my dad was the one that taught me and my brother both how to play. So we grew up, you know, as soon as we could walk, we were peppering with my dad. We were, you know, constantly watching him. He was playing in adult nationals every year. And then also he was playing on the beach as well, just for fun. So we grew up watching him and learning from him. So that's kind of why we started on the beach first. As opposed to indoor. And I also think, you know, that's a kind of a big reason to our success is starting on the beach and then going to indoor and then coming back to the beach. I think beach really helps your all around game for volleyball, as opposed to, you know, starting at indoor and then coming to the beach. It's a lot tougher to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, I'm assuming you played club volleyball growing up, or even just from your school volleyball experience too. Do you have any favorite memories from playing junior volleyball?
Yeah, great memories. So I grew up playing club for Outrigger Canoe Club. I played about, I think, 4 years, and I was all the guys on my team, I was like best friends with. And we would all from Outrigger. So we would grow up playing beach against each other before we started playing organized club volleyball together. So we were already this tight knit group of friends on the team. One of these guys was actually Eric Soji, played with him. So yeah, we growing up playing with your friends is like, you know, the best thing a kid can ask for. And then I think our best tournament was 17 and under. We made it to the finals of the open division and we lost and took second. So that was still a good time though, making it that far.
Awesome. Yeah. I love hearing those stories about playing club volleyball, especially traveling to tournaments like that. Whether you win or lose, just getting to travel with your friends is just so much fun. And going to a new place too, that's not your home. Traveling, going to the hotel pool, going to meals together. I just feel like that's just the best part of it.
Yeah. I think like 1 year we were in Minnesota and went to the Mall of America.
There you go. Yeah.
It's from Hawaii. Like what is the shock? Yeah.
That's awesome. You mentioned, playing with Eric, and I know there's Hawaii just has a wealth of volleyball culture and many high profile athletes have come out of Hawaii, including your club, Outrigger Canoe Club. Could you just talk a little bit about that and what it was like growing up with all those players and those teammates and even, you know, are you guys still friends now? Do you talk outside of your sport or even, you know, within your sport?
Yeah. So the funny thing about the Sojis is we grew up on the on the same street as them. So.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah. And our dads are good friends as well. And his dad, Dave, was our club coach for a couple of years at Outrigger. I've been good friends with the Sojis for a long time. Me and my brother and Micah Christensen played on the same club team. So they were good friends. I'm good friends with Micah. Same with Micah Ma'a. Actually, he's a lot younger. I remember actually peppering with him on the baby court at Outrigger Canoe Club all the time. He was like a kid that just wanted to, you could tell that he was going to be, you know, really good at volleyball someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always out there, always playing, watching us. It's just a tight knit group, especially, and the Outrigger has a big reason to do with that. just because everyone knows each other. Everyone's competing for the same club. I would have to say that.
So what made you, you know, transition from indoor back to the beach?
Probably hurting my shoulder. I blew my shoulder out in like my sophomore year, first year at Long Beach, and kind of, you know, never the same hitting again. So I kind of knew that I wasn't going to be taking it to the next level. Originally, I wanted to pursue like playing professionally overseas. I don't know about making the Olympic team if I was good enough for that. But yeah, after I hurt my shoulder, kind of, I always knew that I liked beach better than indoor as a kid, though. So it kind of worked out perfectly. Went back to the beach after hurting my shoulder. And just, yeah, once I think I played in my first AVP in during college. And I was like, yeah, I can see myself kind of continuing this route and making a career out of it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your family earlier, coming from a big volleyball family, when you were talking about your introduction into volleyball. Yeah, quite the list that you that the Crabs have there with your, you know, of course, your brother, Taylor, playing volleyball currently right now on the beach tour. Your uncle Tony was an assistant on the 84 U.S. men's team that won gold. Your cousin, Lindsey Berg, two-time silver medalist, Olympic silver medalist. You said your dad taught you. I'm sure the list goes on and on there, but what are your family reunions like? You get on the court, you get some,
like, the competitive or something. You just start talking. I'm like, oh, you see me on the court. I feel like,
Well, I mean, yeah, we always have like a big family get together during Christmas. Usually, I actually remember. I think it was like right after, like maybe London, when Lindsay won the silver there. She came to the Christmas party, and she had her silver medal.
Oh, so cool!
We showed everybody up.
No big deal. Yeah.
I always thought that was super cool. And always looked up to her, and we're close friends. We keep in contact all the time. She's following me and my brother on the beach. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And, obviously, yeah, my uncle being, you know, the assistant on the Olympic team, he's one of the greatest, you know, volleyball coaches out there, and he's still does coach back in Hawaii, helps the youth out, some club teams. He was one of my club coaches, like when I was 12 and under. Yeah, so I mean, we're surrounded by not just great players, but great coaches as well. So it makes it a little easier for me to learn the game.
Mm-hmm. I just picture, like, before anyone gets through the door of the house, you're just already setting up a tournament outside, drawing names for partners and stuff.
we had some good battles as kids, like with my dad and my brother, and some of my other cousins that played as well. So a lot of good games.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you learned from your uncle or your cousin Lindsay there? Like anything that you've kind of taken into your career or carry with you in your career now?
I mean, nothing that really like is super specific, just you know, just the fact of, probably from my cousin, just she knows what it is to be a champion, right? Just trying to take in all I can from her, and you know, when she says to, you know, keep working at something, I'll do it. And same with my uncle, I always chat with him when I go back home for the holidays, and he's always wondering how my season's going and how's the, you know, the Olympic run going. So yeah, it's always good to have that support. But the main one is probably my dad, just because, you know, he was the one that taught us, and he's the one that still kind of keeps those close little pieces of advice during tournaments. Mm-hmm. It's good to have.
Is it hard to consistently stay in contact? It sounds like you are in, but, you know, with your travel schedule and, you know, all the tournaments you're playing in, you know, how difficult is that to just, you know, keep that consistent contact with your, you know, with your family?
Yeah. I mean, my mom and dad, they'll watch every single match we're playing, no matter the time change.
Nice.
So yeah, if it's like 3 a.m. in Hawaii, they're up watching our matches. So, and then they'll send a text after after our match. So it's pretty cool to have that support.
Kind of moving over to the beach here, and kind of more current day, but you've had several partners on the beach, including Sean Rosenthal, Reed Pretty, of course, Triborn, now Theo, and your brother too, played with your brother for a few years there in the beginning. But what do you look for in a beach partner when you're setting up a beach partnership?
I think, first is, are they going to make you better? And how's their like relationship with their other partners? Like at the time, before all the volleyball stuff, you want to make sure that you can get along with your partner before you can, start playing with them. And then it comes down to like the X's and O's, if you're going to match up well with them, if they're going to, defensively or offensive. But I'd say the most important thing is having that good relationship with your partner, because it's just as big of a mental game as a physical game. So you got to be, close with your partner and on the same page at all times.
What qualities do or does a good and a consistent beach teammate have?
I would say communication is the first thing. Just being able to, say anything you want without taking anything personally. Laying out the pros and cons of everything, calling you out for, you not doing your job, but also being very supportive at the same time when you do things right. Communication for me is probably the number one most important thing you can have.
What was it like partnering with Taylor, with your brother? I feel like that's like a... Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I feel like siblings, just a natural competitiveness
With
each other. But yeah, what was that like?
I mean, just, being brothers and growing up together, we knew each other so well and what worked for us, what didn't. So I think that's kind of how we kind of slipped by without having that good communication and good relationship. We've had a lot of success together, even with not having that communication. But that was kind of the reason that led to our, breakup, I would say, is eventually not getting along and butting heads too much, not seeing eye to eye. And yeah, that's just kind of blew up eventually. Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of success together, and it helps when that you have that chemistry, that natural chemistry with your partner.
Mm-hmm. Kind of shifting.
Like, I've already spent 30 plus years with you. Time to get away for a little bit. No.
Yeah.
I bet they bring that at the reunions. I'm just kidding. But I
don't know. Yeah. Okay. Well, our whole family wants us to play together again.
Oh, I bet. I know my mom would be the same way.
Yeah. Every get together. But kind of shifting over to Theo, how does his game complement yours? How's that big going back and forth between two of you?
Yeah. Well, number one thing, like, I'm going to move to the full-time defense with him. So him being one of the best blockers out there is really helpful. And I would say, probably the most important thing right now, just because full-time defense is still almost like not quite learning the new skill, because I've been doing half of it with try split blocking. New full-time position and still learning, a few new things here and there. So it helps to have, one of the best blockers in front of you. So I would say that's number one reason, or number one compliment that he gives me right now.
You ever want to get back on the net? Like, I feel like getting that block is like so satisfying.
It is. No, actually we talked about it, and like he wants me to go up every now and then, and that's something that we're trying to work in. And that's definitely something that I do miss, like every now and then getting that big block and, staring your opponent down. That's one of the easiest ways you can get yourself fired up,
Mm-hmm. Getting that tough dig though is
is very satisfying as well.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So
really.
Talking about the different tours, you got the FIVB International Tour, you got the ABP Tour. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the differences or similarities playing domestically versus internationally?
Yeah, well, the number one difference is the international tour. It's the talent pool is way bigger right now. So coming into these tournaments, it's much tougher than any ABP. On any given day, you know, you go to ABP and you got, you know, six or seven of the top teams that can possibly win the tournament. You come over to the FIVB and, you know, you got twice as many that could, at least twice as many that could win that specific event. So it's much tougher overall. You really have to be extra prepared going into the event and really playing your A game the whole time without slipping up. Because if you don't play well, if you play bad, you're most 100% going to lose that match, no matter who you're playing. That's why you kind of have to bring it every time and hope, you know, that also that your opponent maybe isn't playing as well as they'd play. But it's every game out there is crazy. So much competition right now on the World Tour.
Do you prefer one or the other? Is just kind of, you know, whatever you need that week or.
I mean,
because right? There's the points on the international side that you need for Olympic qualification versus ABP.
At any given day, I'll choose to play, like, I'd much rather be playing full time on the ABP.
Okay.
Let's take the Olympics out of it. If the Olympics didn't exist, then be playing full time on the ABP and not having to travel all over the place.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Then obviously it's easier to win an AVP, and definitely the U.S. fan base, I think, is awesome and much more fun to play in those events than these FIVB events. Some of these events overseas have great fans as well. But yeah, in general, I pick AVP for sure. Your FIVB tournament.
Do you have a favorite AVP stop, tour stop?
Well, Manhattan Beach, I'm kind of biased towards, but
a little bit, yeah.
If I can't choose Manhattan, I'll go with Chicago. It's always one of my
favorite. Okay, cool. Ooh, but, Chicago.
Yeah, the venue there is awesome. Around the lake, great weather during that time of the year, and the big fan base as well too.
Mm. And I mean, I think it's like perfect segue to like speaking of the Manhattan Beach Open. Yeah. You know, what does it mean to you to have not one, not two, bit of LeBron thing, not three, I'm just kidding, but three Manhattan Beach Open, you know, plaques with your name on it? Like, how does that feel alone?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I think I'll be honest, I'll think about it, you know, every once in a while, maybe not every day, but, you know, every once in a while I'm thinking about volleyball and just, well, how hard it is, you know, just to win one, but then, you know, the last three in a row was pretty amazing with two different partners, Try and Reed. So it's definitely something that I look forward to each year. And yeah, I mean, it just definitely holds a very special place in my heart and then in my volleyball career as well.
Do you ever stop and visit the pier over in Manhattan to polish those plaques off?
To be honest, I think so. I've won three. Well, obviously, the third one hasn't been put up yet, but I've probably gone onto the pier since I won my first one, maybe like three times.
Really?
So, yeah. So it's, I don't know if it's like a superstition thing, but it's more like, I'll see it when I get the engraving ceremony. And then I'll check them all out at the same time, and then I'll wait for the next year one and check them out again. But I mean, I'll constantly get like friends or family that'll be walking and snap a picture and send it. So it's pretty cool. So I see them that way.
Okay. Yeah, it's almost like motivation. You're like, I got to win another one to see my other one. So
exactly.
I love that. Yeah, I saw a video of, I think it was Courtney Cox.
who she like put some caution tape around her Hollywood star sign and got some like Windex out and was cleaning her stomach out there. So I was curious if the beach players did kind of the same thing, but sounds like no.
Yeah, a little different.
A little different. That's awesome. That's such a cool, what does it mean to you to win that tournament specifically? And, you know, let alone three times, but that tournament specifically, which is, you know, often called I think it's known as the Mecca beach volleyball, yeah. The granddaddy of them all, I think is another phrase, but yeah, what's it like to you to win that tournament?
Yeah. I mean, it adds a little extra, I would say, like just good feeling because of how everyone else wants to win that so bad. It's like on everyone's radar, top of their radar to win.
Yeah.
So when you're winning, you know, when you're winning those and they're not, it adds a little extra, like, you know, like a swag to it or whatever, however you want to say. So that's kind of the special thing about it, is knowing that everybody else wants to win that one and you come out on top. It's pretty cool.
Talking about this season specifically and kind of looking ahead to Paris, obviously Paris Olympics, qualifying for that has to be the long-term goal for you. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. but what are some of the milestones you and Theo have set for yourselves, or even maybe milestones that you've set for yourself personally this season as you look ahead to the Olympics?
Yeah, so I mean, our goals as a team is obviously to qualify it, and you know, everyone says win a gold medal or win a medal, which is definitely a goal of ours. But we first, you know, we want to get there first, and in doing so, we want to, you know, rack up as many medals during these FIV tournaments as possible, because that'll really help you to qualify. So yeah, just. Trying to get on the podium each time we're out here. We had a fifth a couple of weeks ago in Mexico, so got close to the podium then, and last week did not have a good tournament. So it's been a little bit of a quick start of the year. It's been a little up and down, but we know it's a long marathon race to Tokyo to Paris. So yeah, we're trying to take it one tournament at a time.
Mm-hmm. What have you and Theo talked about what specifically that you two would need to do, or maybe, you know, improving your game to reach that goal of qualifying for the Olympics?
Yeah, well, one thing out here that kind of stands out is, you know, the rest of the world is kind of, you know, changing up the offensive game plans. They're moving the sets all around now and really adding more to the offensive arsenal. So that's kind of something that we've been working on. Not quite so much of the jump setting you're seeing, but more just running different play sets and trying to move the blocker around. Definitely is, you know, showing on the rest of the world what they're doing. And it's definitely changed in the last few years, I would say, in terms of talent and then obviously the offensive skill set for everyone.
What are some things that you two are doing to, you know, improve that communication factor in your partnership? You know, that could be something that you're doing off the sand or on it during play, during practices, but you know, what are some things you're working on just to, you know, keep that constant and improve it every single day?
For us, I would say like during matches, we try and like slow down the game and try and talk a little bit on every point, whether it's, you know, saying something specific, short and specific, but just try and talk on every single point. So defensively, you know, if we're on defense, we're going to have a little strategy on this specific point or what we're going to do defensively. And then offensively, it's going to be like something like, okay, if we pass it here, I'm going to run this, or if we pass it here, try to run this set. So just kind of be just more detailed on every specific point and slowing the game down in that aspect.
Hmm. Have you taken some time to like think about what it would mean to you to qualify for the Olympics, to represent USA on that stage? Have you visualized that at all?
Yes, and I did the last quad too when we didn't make it.
Right.
I've definitely spent a lot of time like thinking about or visualizing like if we did qualify. So I mean, yeah, I try not to think in the end about the end too much, you know, just trying to take it one tournament at a time, just because it's such a long race. But yeah, the visualization definitely helps too, especially when you're at a tournament trying to get the mind right for that specific tournament. But not, I would say, try not to think about too much of the end game.
I think you've been seeing some of the U.S. men's pairs specifically doing some, you know, training blocks and training together with USA Volleyball Beach staff, certain locations in Southern California. Have you guys been, participating and involved in those in any way?
Yeah, we've been there from the beginning. I think we started in February, and we usually go like once a week with, two of the other top teams. It'll kind of cycle through, sometimes change up. But yeah, those are always great practices to play in, just because it's the high level and you're going against basically your competition, right? You're trying to beat out those other USA teams. Mm-hmm. It definitely adds a fun aspect to it.
Yeah. How are those training blocks benefiting, your game, your development, as you kind of look ahead to your goals this season, and maybe even specifically, training with the USA Volleyball Beach staff or any other coaches who are out there with you?
Yeah, well, it helps because it's the best way. The best way to be better is to train against, the best guys, right? So if we're not going to be able to train against the international guys who right now are at the top, we want to be playing and training against the best USA teams to get better, right? So that's probably the number one thing, competition wise. And then, yeah, just having the full USA staff and support at each practice is very beneficial as well. Just knowing that you got that big support group behind you and they want the best for you as well.
Yeah. For anyone who's listening right now, why should they want to tune into volleyballworld.tv and watch you guys play on the beach? Why should they want to tune into beach volleyball, international beach volleyball?
So these international tournaments right now are the highest level of beach volleyball in the world. And these Olympic points and tournaments are unlike anything else. You're going to see guys play at their best. You're going to see close matches. Anybody can beat anybody in any given day. So there's not really too many underdogs. And yeah, it's just the best in the world are going at it. So tune in.
Yeah, it's, I was just going to say, when you said the best volleyball right now on the beach tour, just this week, last weekend in Brazil with Sarah Sponsel and Therese Cannon and their bronze medal match, they went to a 21-19 third set, unfortunately lost, but that just tells you the level of play that's going on right now on that tour.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, very competitive. Yeah.
You've been in your fair share of, definitely, highest level of this, competitive beach volleyball. Do you ever, do you still get nerves, or how do you handle situations, even though, you've been, pretty well versed and, introduced to this?
Yeah, I get nerves all the time still before every single match. And it's usually pretty similar, the level of nerves I get no matter what match it is. So going into the first match on Friday, I'm going to have a ton of nerves, and it usually just kind of calms down once we start playing, and then once you start forgetting about all that, that's kind of how you calm down. But nerves up until at least the first serve of that game.
Ben, going back really quick to your early days playing volleyball, specifically beach volleyball, of course, right now we have the USA Volleyball Beach Tour going on, which is our junior volleyball beach tour. The championships for that tour is this summer. Why should kids, junior athletes, come and play beach volleyball? I know you talked a lot about how it helped your indoor game. But why should they want to complete beach volleyball?
I think just in general, it'll help you as an overall athlete. Even if you're not playing indoor, if you're playing other sports, it's, I think, the greatest, you know, cross training sport that's out there, because, you know, it's low impact and not a contact sport. So the risk of injury is a little lower than other sports. So you can go out and play, use it as a cross training for another sport. And cardio is probably, you know, up. In terms of if it's a hot summer day, you know, you go out and play, you're gonna get a great workout in. So just doing that, and if you do play indoor, it helps every single part of your game, playing on the beach. So if you want to improve your indoor skills, go play beach.
Yeah, definitely a good cross training, like you mentioned there. And yeah, it doesn't hurt to look at the ocean too while you're playing volleyball too. That's kind exactly, of a nice perk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or take a dip in right after your match.
Well, here in Colorado, in an indoor facility in Colorado, then.
it's not quite the same, but
it'd be a little harder
to say. I think we're towards the tail end of the interview here. Do you have anything else you want to just, you know, tell the listeners, or just anything that we may have left off the table question wise that people should know?
I think that's pretty much good. I think tune in as much as you can with this Olympic race. You know, every single tournament out there has big implications. So it's the next 15 months is going to be very entertaining.
Yeah, we're in the heat of that Olympic race right now. Super exciting to see that movement. Where can people follow you on social media to follow your journey?
Instagram, King Crab 808 is my handle, and that's pretty much the only social that I use, and it's pretty easy to follow through that. And then also, like, you know, obviously the AVP, and then the beach volleyball world as well. Try and follow both of those.
Awesome, sounds good. Trevor, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us, and we'll let you get back to training there in Brazil, and good luck in your next matches coming up here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Later.
Such an awesome conversation with Trevor. Really excited that we were able to catch him as he's basically now permanent residency in Brazil, competing in three back-to-back events. Not a bad place to be either. I've seen some of the pictures. The views there look incredible from where they're at. But yeah, love getting beach athletes on. It's always hard to get them just with the nature of their schedule and their season. But awesome to catch up with Trevor, and loved hearing about, you know, just the legacy of volleyball within his family. Would love to be witness of some of those family reunion tournaments that I'm sure they have. I think he was downplaying it a little bit, but I'm sure they get into it.
or he wasn't, and it was just literally just all talk, like, yo, here's my medal, blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
here's, you know, what is it, whatever it is. But you know what we didn't ask him? Top three sunscreens to use as a beach athlete, as a beach professional athlete.
Missed opportunity
there. But wow, like literally, like you said, like his entire family is just a volleyball family. It's insane. Like, I just think about that. Like you said, the reunions, the conversations they've had, like what they can teach each other, you know, to help grow, you know, their development in the game and so much more. And it's insane.
Yeah, just a wealth of knowledge to tap into for him and his brother, Taylor, who are now competing on the tour themselves. But they can just, yeah, pick up the phone, call Lindsey Bird, two-time silver medalist, their cousin, and, you know, just ask them a question. That's, yeah, just so cool to hear that. And just, you know, within Hawaii, too, just the legacy of volleyball and growing up with the Sojis. Triborn is from there as well. Just so many great athletes have come out of Hawaii and are still coming out. Definitely future's bright. Future's bright
for Hawaii. It's super cool to hear that his parents
never miss a match, like no matter what time.
I know, yeah.
What time zones they're in, blah, blah, blah. I keep saying blah, blah, blah. I need to stop that. Whatever time zone they're in and, you know, time of day it is, they're there watching, texting, giving feed, showing support. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. And yeah, speaking of just being able to watch matches too, he was talking about the ABP tour a little bit. He touched on that and a little partial to the Manhattan Beach Open, him being he's won the last three.
Not one?
Not two.
Yep. Not
three. The last two with of course, Triborn, and then the one before that, Reed Pretty. And then there was a year in there where COVID canceled the event. But yeah, he's won the last three, and yeah, definitely enjoys competing there. And he said he doesn't, you know, walk the pier and check out his plaque.
But I don't know if I believe that. You know,
I don't know. I don't know. I like to imagine the winners, you know, visit every once in a while and get down and polish their plaques a little
bit. But I mean, he did get some reasonable, you know, thought logic behind that, just saying, hey, and it's more motivation for him to win again so he can.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, visit all of these plaques at the same time, which is a pretty cool flex. I'm not going to lie.
That's a cool tradition too. Just to have that on the pier and for everyone, like the pier is open to the public. You can just walk there and see all those plaques there and just the incredible athletes, the history of that tournament just displayed right there on the pier. That I think that's one of the coolest traditions in the sport.
I know. I mean, speaking of the sport and traditions there too, I mean, just the men's side of things, I do believe the qualification window for Paris is wide open. I think, Stephen, you have some specific updates about that or some general updates, I mean. But
I was pulling up the points here, at least for the men's side on the U.S., it's kind of wide open. And especially with the partnerships that have been going on too recently, it's really anyone's race right here. Like anyone can move up just with any given tournament. So a lot of we have the beach, we have, you know, the time you're listening to this, the Saquarema tournament it would have already finished in Brazil, and Uberlandia is coming up this weekend. So, and then the beach tour just keeps continuing with, let's see, we got Ostrava is coming up, Elite 16 there. We have Stade in Switzerland as well coming up this summer. So a lot of events, a lot of opportunities to get points and move on up the rankings here. For the U.S. men. And then on the women's side, Taryn Cloth, and Kristen Nuss, Sarah Sponsel, and Therese Cannon are back-to-back at 7 and 8 with the world rankings. And then right after them, Emily Stockman and Megan Kraft, too. So, and then just right after them, Sarah Hughes and Kelly Chang. So it's a tight race there as well. And there can be movements with, you know, any weekend with these tour events coming up. So exciting to keep up with. And you can watch all that too on bb.tv. So check that out for sure. And just an exciting time for beach volleyball here gearing up for the summer.
Oh yeah, definitely agree. But again, you know, just a great conversation with Trevor, and you know, we very much appreciate him taking the time to sit down with us, you know, while he's competing in Brazil for the month. Like you said, Stephen is back-to-back-to-back. You know, I think beforehand on the interview, we were just making sure his Wi-Fi was good and, you know, connection was good with, you know, the time zone change and everything as well too. But definitely stay tuned at USA the Beach on Instagram and Twitter for updates on the USA teams and on the Beach Pro Tour. You can watch the matches like Stephen just mentioned on VB.TV. And you can also follow Trevor on Instagram at King Crab with two B's 808. Now, I think it is time for Stevine to talk about these upcoming events.
Steve, I never gets old. Another ABCA memory there. That's awesome. All right, here we go. On to upcoming events. We have the North Texas Region Boys Dual Regional Qualifier April 21st in Plano, Texas. The Far Western Girls National Qualifier April 22nd through the 23rd in Reno, Nevada. The Mad Sand Juniors April 22nd in Plano, Texas, the USAV Beach Tour Oklahoma Region Eagle Classic Regional Qualifier, April 22nd in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good luck to everyone competing in those events, and shout out to all the USAV regions setting up and hosting those events. More details on all upcoming events can be found at usavolleyball.org. Now, we have a special guest who just joined us, it looks like. Josie, how are you doing? What's going on? I hear you just won a qualifier in Windy City. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we did just win. Our third set of our bid match was 22-20 for the third set. So I was stressed out the entire game. I was pacing back and forth. It was absolutely fantastic. We went 10-0. Yeah, dropped two sets the whole weekend.
That is awesome. Really quick for our listeners and viewers here, could you introduce yourself? What do you do at USC Volleyball and what club you coach for right now?
Yeah, so I'm actually in the events department. I'm an event lead right now. My name is Josie Russell and I coach at Team Colorado Volleyball right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Like what was, what was the experience like at Windy City? You said you had the stress, the nerves coming into that gold medal match, but yeah. How did the team react after, you know, realizing they earned that bid into nationals?
Yeah, they were so excited. We went to Spokane the weekend before and we took fourth. So they had a lot of vengeance, a lot of those feelings of hurt from that weekend. So just being on the opposite side of it was just so fantastic.
That is so cool. And did you guys do anything to celebrate afterwards? Get some ice cream or anything like that?
No, we had to catch a flight.
Okay.
But yeah, they. I told them if they won, I would buy a new pair of Hokas. So there I just spent some money on that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for hopping on here. Sorry to take you away from your work there at SLC, but we'll have to get you on the podcast here again soon. Like as a real guest, we would love to have you.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Josie Russell, for taking the time to sit down with us. Love hearing about her experience at Windy City and getting that that win, winning the gold medal there. That was super cool. Clarence, nice work grabbing Josie over there.
Anytime. Do you grab anybody else while we're here?
Yeah, be on the lookout. See who you can find. Moving on to the pro side of things for events, we have the 2023 Beach Pro Tour Futures, April 20th through the 23rd in Satin, Thailand, and the 2023 Beach Pro Tour Elite 16, April 26th through the 30th in Uberlândia, Brazil. That is the event we were just talking about that Trevor and his partner Theo Brunner will be competing in, and several other USA pairs too. So like Clarence mentioned earlier, check out USAB Beach on Instagram and Twitter for those updates, and you can watch on bb.tv.
I love how I said, like Steve mentioned earlier, bb.tv. Did you said have Clarence mentioned earlier, bb.tv? Very funny.
Full circle.
Just keep going. Remember, listeners, you can rate, review, share this podcast with your friends, families, teammates, coaches, uncles, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, anybody. It really helps this podcast grow and reaching listeners. I mean, especially with this being our 2-year anniversary, we are so thankful for each and every one of you who continue to show your support, you know, for the podcast. You guys are friends of the pod. We appreciate the love and support. And also check out our video episodes on our website and on YouTube. Again, thank you all for the continued support. I mean, this podcast doesn't happen if you guys aren't listening to this every other week when we drop our episodes. If you aren't giving us the feedback and support and the love, and it's something we very much appreciate. Do you know of a club that should be featured or a story you'd like us to share, or, you know, a random coworker slash coach you want to pull into an interview because they just want to bid at Windy City? But you can email us at theusavshow@usav.org and leave us feedback. Let us know how we're doing, any other future topics and episodes you want us to cover. We want to hear about it because we will get it posted on our podcast, especially with us trying to hit the 100 episode mark here. The more ideas we get, the better. Again, until next time, thank you all for listening to the USA Volleyball Show. Yeah, 2-year anniversary episode. Can't believe we're here, but the best is still yet to come. We are the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. It's produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.